Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Here we are reminded that the door to heaven, which is open to all nations, is Jesus Christ. And he is the one who makes us right with God. This also is the sermon text for this morning. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you is that gospel lesson from Luke chapter 13, which was read for you just a few moments ago. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the door to eternal life in heaven, your fellow redeemed. Do you like to fly? I do. And the reason probably why I like to do it is because it is one of the fastest and most convenient ways to get from point A to point B. But I will tell you that every time that I'm about to board an airplane, there are two questions which rise in my mind. First one is going to be, is there going to be enough space in the overhead bin for me to store my luggage? And the second one is, who's going to be seated next to me? And will they be sociable and nice people? I will guarantee you that a thought that doesn't frequently enter my mind as I'm boarding a plane is this plane going to crash or not? And am I ready for it if it does? Because we know that air travel is still a very safe means of travel. And so I don't need to necessarily have that fear in the back of my mind. But there is one thing that you can expect to hear every time you board that plane, and that is a quick run-through by the flight attendants as to what to do in the case of an emergency. And you know the drill very well. In the event of the loss of cabin pressure, a door will open above you from which oxygen masks will drop down. And then you're to take one of those oxygen masks, and in case you don't know that you breathe through your nose and mouth, you're to place it over your face. And then you're to tighten the straps and then breathe normally, as if anybody's going to breathe normally at that point in time. And then the directions are given about the other emergency devices on the airplane as well. I'm sure many of us have been through that routine many times. We know it almost by heart. And so quite often when we get on the plane, we sit down, we buckle our seatbelt, we take out our book or we take out our tablet or we take out our phone, and we begin to perhaps take a last minute look at our emails or begin reading the book. And when that flight attendant is up there giving that safety demonstration, we probably don't blink an eye and really don't pay much attention to it at all. In the words of our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is speaking a warning to us. And this warning that Jesus is speaking to us is not one that is wise for us to tune out. You see, his warning does not fall under the category of a nice thing to know but not necessary. No, his warning is extremely important for us. And it is a warning which applies to all people. In fact, his warning that he applies there is, in essence, the one thing that really matters in everyone's life. And that is whether or not eternal life in heaven is in their future. And the warning which Jesus issues here pictures access to that heavenly mansion as being through a door. And he warns us the door is narrow. The first words which Jesus speaks are, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. The words, make every effort, are the key words here. As a matter of fact, in the original Greek, the word which is used is the word agonizo, from which we get our English word, agonize. Entrance into eternal life in heaven requires an enormous struggle. Not that you and I have to earn our place in heaven, because our place in heaven is determined by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But it's an enormous struggle for us because of the fact that we have in this world in which we live, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, which are constantly struggling against us, trying to get us to give up that faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so Jesus says, agonize to enter through that narrow door. Struggle to enter through that narrow door. In other words, a person can't saunter into the kingdom of God. We must struggle to the very point of death to hold on to that saving faith. And we will want to therefore take every opportunity that we have at our disposal to hear that word of God. Because that word of God nourishes us and it strengthens us so that we can maintain a firm faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin. And that word can also help us to fight against the unholy trinity of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, who are constantly waging their attacks against us each and every day. We need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because with that sword of the Spirit, we can extinguish Satan's flaming arrows. If you're honest, and if you're like me, you will have to admit that, sadly, we don't agonize about this issue as much as we should. All too often, we lower our shield of faith, we sit right down in the devil's camp, and we expect that we're going to walk away unharmed. We align ourselves with the devil instead of fighting against him. And how do we do that? Well, we do that when we have the weekly opportunity to join our fellow Christians here in God's house, but we shun that invitation from the Lord to feast on his word. We do that when we have the opportunity to sit down in the privacy of our homes and pick up our own Bible and read and study the word which is written for us there, because through that study, our faith will be strengthened in order to do battle against the unholy Trinity. And so these words of Jesus Christ are very much in place for you and me as well. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Struggle. Agonize to enter through that door. Because it is the only door that opens us to true freedom and to God's blessings in the here and now and in eternal life to come. The question which prompted Jesus' discussion here about the narrow door was a very simple question. Somebody came to him and said, Lord, how many are going to get to heaven? Are there only going to be a few people who are going to be saved? And so Jesus continues to answer that question by saying this. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. A couple important points there that Jesus makes. First of all, he says the time is short. There finally comes a time when the door to heaven is going to be closed. Golden opportunities do not last forever. Each and every one of those opportunities has an expiration date with it. So how long do we have? When is our time up? What's our expiration date? When is that door to eternal life in heaven going to be shut for us? We don't know that answer. Death or the end of the world may come today, may come tomorrow, may come 20 years from now. We don't know. None of us knows when it will be. And that's why Jesus encourages us to always be prepared to meet our Maker, to always be found in faith and trust in Him as our Savior. Because now is the day of salvation. Once again, the tragedy of this 21st century world in which we live is that, by and large, people today have the opinion that they're in control of their own destiny. They're masters of their own fate. And consequently, people tend to put things off until another day, even things that are really too important to put off. While for many, time may simply run out, and they're called to meet their Maker before they expected they would, for others, they're going to be absolutely shocked when they find out that they are excluded from eternal life in heaven because of their lack of qualifications. Those who are stuck outside the door of heaven after it's closed, pleading, "Lord, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets," unfortunately missed the point. You're not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, "But Lord, I was brought up in the church. I was baptized. I was married. I was confirmed married. Had my children baptized there. I was a member of that church. My name was on the membership roll. Okay, I didn't go that often, but my name was on the membership roll. Or Lord, I have friends in the church. Or Lord, my cousin is a missionary. Oh Lord, I thought all paths ultimately lead to eternal life in heaven." Those types of excuses are not going to cut it with the Lord. Just as you couldn't go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and expect that your coupon from Outback is going to be honored there, neither will anything apart from Jesus Christ and faith and trust in Him as the Savior allow an individual to enter the narrow door of eternal life in heaven. Heaven does not accept competitors' coupons. The door is narrow, which leads to eternal life. And the scriptures are very clear. Entrance into the kingdom of God happens through faith, by grace, by God's undeserved love, through God's holy word and the sacraments. And you and I can take comfort in the fact that God does not want anyone to miss out on His blessings of eternal life in heaven. You and I can take comfort in the fact that God has gone out of His way to bring salvation to everyone through His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to die on the cross after His Son had lived a perfect life on our behalf. And His Son died there on that cross of Calvary in order to pay the death penalty which you and I and all people deserve to pay because of our sins. And then His Son was raised back to life on the third day to show that God had accepted the sacrifice which His Son had offered for the sins of mankind. And now forgiveness, life, and salvation was available for all people. And even more than that, God sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts. He put that spark of faith within us, which believes and trusts in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And He has established His church, where His word and sacraments continue to be carried out to this very day for the strengthening of people's faith, so that they can continue to agonize in the struggle to enter through the narrow door which leads them to eternal life in heaven. Lord, how many are going to get to heaven? Will there only be a few that will be saved? When you stop to look at the text, Jesus really doesn't answer that question, does He? Instead, the whole thrust of His teaching was that only those who put their trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ will finally be admitted to heaven. You see, nobody else can eat for you. Nobody else can take medicine for you. Nobody else can catch up on sleep for you. Those are things that you have to do for yourself. And it's the same way with eternal salvation. Nobody else can believe in Jesus Christ for you. The faith of your parents, your spouse, or other loved ones or friends will not get you into eternal life in heaven. You must believe yourself in Jesus Christ as your Savior through the help of the Holy Spirit. It's your responsibility. So strive, agonize, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. There are many false hopes which are out there in the world around us. False hopes which it is very dangerous for us to put our trust and confidence in. Those things, while they might seem good, they're secondary. The good works which we do in this life do not earn us a place in heaven. The good works are simply a sign of the faith and trust which we have in our hearts, that faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up, as so many people in our world are today, of trusting in your own merits to gain you a place to eternal life. That's the broad gate that enters eternal damnation in hell. The narrow gate, faith and trust, the narrow door, faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior, is where we need to be placing our trust and confidence. In other words, major in the majors, don't major in the minors. Let me tell you an illustration about that. There was a woman who went to a pet store and she bought a parrot. She returned to the pet store the next day. She told the owner of the pet store, "The bird doesn't talk." And the owner of the pet store said, "Well, the bird needs some time to acclimate to your home. And by the way, do you have a mirror in his cage?" And the woman said, "No, I don't." She said, "Well, get a mirror for the parrot, because parrots often start to talk when they see themselves in this mirror." And so the woman bought the mirror. She went home, put it inside the cage. A couple of days later, she returned to the pet store. She said, "Bird still doesn't talk." The clerk says, "Do you have a ladder in his cage?" And parrots love ladders. And a happy parrot is a talkative parrot. And so the woman bought the ladder, and she left. A few days later, she comes back, still no talking parrot. Back to the pet store. "Put a swing in the cage." So she bought a swing. Didn't help either. Next week, she returned to the pet store. She said to the clerk, "Parrot died." And the clerk sympathized. "I'm sorry. By the way, did he ever say a word?" And the woman said, "Yes. Just before he died, he said in a very weak voice, 'Don't they sell food at that pet store?'" Point of that story is, there are many people in our world today whose religion is a religion of mirrors and ladders and swings. They have all kinds of nice things, big fancy buildings, extensive programs, all sorts of bells and whistles, but they don't have the main thing. They don't have the true spiritual food, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And then those people, even though they have all the bells and whistles, end up dying spiritually. They perish in their sins. Christ is the spiritual food which you and I need. And in his word, he brings us the bread of life. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we receive the very body and blood which he offered for us in, with, and under the bread and the wine. May you and I always be willing, through the enabling of God the Holy Spirit, to receive those blessings from God. And may we also then be willing to share those blessings with those around us so that they too can know what the narrow door is and can have the one thing needful. Amen.